Hey, welcome to the Existential Waiting Pool. I am your hostess, Clittery Glitter Tits. My pronouns are she, her, and I am an emotional egg ready to get cracked over a carpet and become an impossible to clean up mess. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at today. But, I don't know, it's nice to, feel emotions and everything, and like I'm getting better at like sitting with them and such, certain chemical changes I'm going through are making that a little easier. So I'm pretty tight. Okay, so I guess I'll just dive right on in to my status. And okay, my level of energy is 3 today. Like, yeah, I'm pretty fucking tired, I guess, but, you know, I, like, went to bed, like, super late last night around, like, 3 a.m., so I guess that kind of matches my level of energy. But on the contrary, how apologetic I am about it is a solid 0 today. Like, you know what? I'm actually all right with it. Like, it kind of makes sense, you know, because it's, like, today is like kind of the Sunday scariest day for me, even though it's like a Saturday. So, it's like, yeah, I'm just like, I don't know, I'm not gonna make things harder on myself and feel guilty. And I guess that's not what I want to feel anyway, because like sometimes even if I want to feel something, my body has other motives. So you know what, it's all valid. But all right, how sober am I on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being the least sober I've ever been, and 10 being the most sober. I'm 6 right now. That's just kind of the vibe right now, I guess. I don't really know if there's any explanation for it, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. But it has been a pretty tight week, because the best part of my week is my friend coming back after moving out of state for like over a year and having an awesome jam session with him after he's like got back. I think I said that sentence wrong with the wrong tone of voices, but I guess that's what I get for like writing it down and not really rehearsing shit. I mean, I don't even know what happened if I like tried to rehearse this podcast. It's like 30 fucking minutes. It would take all the fun out of it. But yeah, I'm about my friend. Yeah, it's been super awesome having him back, and he's like super musical. In fact, I think like he started getting like really musical actually like after he moved. And then like we would like sometimes like I don't know if I'd call like what we did like after he like moved away like jam sessions, but like we both have like music softwares, like I have Ableton, and I think that's what he was using it for a while too, or like he would like have apps on his phones where he could like, you know, kind of create beats and shit like pretty easy and make samples. So it's like we just like make these really weird fucked up sounding songs just with whatever we could grab across the internet, or like, you know, even make the samples ourselves and then like distort the shit out of them and make some really sometimes pretty disturbing shit, but stuff that just like, yeah, just left me cackling to make. So we've been having a lot of fun, and it's been fun to just like finally like make music with him live. And I was a little nervous just because it's like I've done music for a while, but I've only like started doing it the way I've wanted to do, and like training my ear versus like sight reading, because like growing up, like my parents made me do like classical music and shit like as soon as they like realized I could sing, and like so that was the whole thing. But then like I took a break from that, and then like I started doing kind of more of the style I wanted to. Like, I don't even know if I have really a name for it, but I guess kind of trippy shit, but like also like I like making chill mellow shit. So it's like I'm like learning how to play the keyboard again, and he's teaching me a bunch of voice stuff, and he's like pretty good at it, to be honest. He's taught me so much more actually than I learned in lessons, just because he knows a lot about like the science of it, and like about like close quotient and like open quotient, and like, yeah, kind of helping me like kind of identify like different names for like sensations and like terms and shit. So that's been really fun to like finally just make music with them. And yeah, we've had like a good time and we're able to like jam really well together. And just the feeling of like synchronizing with someone is just, it's just fucking godly. It's like, you know, you kind of just become one consciousness and like, you know, you're just all doing the same thing. And it's kind of like meditative, to be honest. But yeah, I really liked it. So yeah, I'm really happy to have him back. And I get a little emotional thinking about it. But that's okay. And okay, so yeah, to bring your mood down, the worst part of my week, I mean, it wasn't really that bad, but actually it was pretty shitty. But yeah, Monday was actually pretty shitty this week. I don't know, I was just like really temperamental, and it wasn't even like the day that like I was like, you know, on paper like having like a bad time, because it's like, yeah, I got to like, you know, sleep in and wake up late. But I think it was also because like, oh yeah, okay, I remember why it was like so bad. For every shift I have a 15 minute break with my current shifts, because they're just below 6 hours, like I think they're like 5 hours. And so it's like I don't get a 30 minute break, I get a 15 minute break. But the thing is that like if I'm still like on a call, like and I think I've like told you all this before, like I have a call center job, but if I'm still on a call and it's like I have to wait to like the 20 minute mark before I can like hand it off to another cap, like another call agent. With those 15 minute breaks, it's like even if like it's time for my break, I still have to finish calls, unlike my meal breaks where it's like once like I can like, there is a set time for me to start it and they prefer for me to do it, but it's like, you know, if I'm still on a call, it's like, you know, I can hand it off like 20 minutes past like the time that my break was supposed to be, and then like, you know, when I take that break, it won't let me clock in until like after 30 minutes. So those ones are like awesome like that, but like 15 minute breaks, like, you know, I don't even clock out for those. So it's like, it kind of sucks a lot. But like this Monday, like I actually had the opportunity to like actually like go on my break on time, because sometimes like, you know, I'll like go 5 minutes, or like, you know, I'll like have to skip my break entirely and just like run and grab a quick snack, otherwise it fucks up my adherence to my schedule. And so like I actually had the opportunity to hand it off like at the time that they had set for me to have this break. Also, sorry, I'm like over explaining this, but I completely forgot that I was like, it was time for me to have a break. So I just picked up another call, and then like my hunger kind of reminded me like, oh shit, yeah, like I need to eat. And then I like looked at the time and I was like, you know, when's my break? And I was like, oh shit, like, oh, like I should be on break right now. But once I started that call, I have to wait 15 minutes. So yeah, I missed my break. And I like ran and like, I think I grabbed some like, what are those things called? It's like a cheese stick that's like wrapped in like, you know, maybe like pepperoni or something, or like some sort of sausage or salami. I forget the name of it, but I think I just like grabbed some of those that were like in the fridge, and, maybe even like Bevita crackers or something, because that was like protein, you know. But I was just so pissy about that, and like I was legitimately angry. Like I legitimately just have not felt that angry and just upset like in a long time. And like I think I was actually like even about to cry just because I was so pissed that I like missed my break. And I think I was like actually like even frowning. Like I wasn't even like trying to frown, I was just frowning. And like I don't know, like I think I would like saw like a little mirror or something on my face, and it like kind of looked like that you know iconic frown from Hereditary at the dinner table scene after like the mom like has like the fucking breakdown and everything at her son. But very iconic frown. But yeah, I had that. And but it turned out good because that was also like the day that like I was gonna see my friend for the first time. So like after being like pissy about that and everything, I like went straight from work over to visit him with my other friends, and it was like a really good time. And yeah, kind of resolved all that anger. But okay, let me do a quick time check. Okay, 10:19. I'm not doing bad at all. But okay, yeah. So that was the worst part of my week. And I think that leaves the general theme of my week, but in one word, on scarcity. Yeah, I think I'll just leave it at that. Because, yeah, I'm broke as usual. Emotionally broke, financially broke. And yeah, basically what's normal for, like, a Generation Z right now. But, yeah, I'll just hop right on into the news minute, I guess. Okay, so I think, like, as I was, like, talking about last time, like, super triggering topics, I'm just gonna, like, kind of summarize, like, whether they're happening or not. because I'm sure, like, you know, the demographic that I'm, like, you know, hoping, like, is, like, listening to this or whatever, like, the demographic I'm, like, wanting to, like, reach and everything, I'm sure, like, these topics, like, if I go too in-depth, it could be, like, really triggering. But also, I don't want to, like, skip them as if they don't exist. So yeah, climate change, racism, sexism, all the phobias, and classism is still happening. And I'm sure you're all aware of, like, the floods happening in Germany, which is just fucking terrifying and sad. But I don't know, like, if you haven't read about it, or if you're in the right headspace to, like, handle a topic like that, there's definitely, like, articles, I think, like, on The Guardian that are, like, available for it, because they do a really good job of keeping up with that kind of shit. And in as far as COVID news, the Delta variant is still at large, so, yeah, that's kind of spooky. But if you're vaccinated, which you should be, and if you can get a vaccine, please fucking do it. Like, I mean, I've, like, talked to people who've had, like, COVID, and, like, it's comparatively not near as bad, like, the vaccine symptoms, and there's, like, lots of places you can get informed, like, the CDC and World Health Organization, so, yeah, get your vaccines. And, okay, so, moving on from the trigger section, Jeff Bezos is going to space, and... This is, like, news that I just, like, saw, like, from a meme, but then I, like, checked it out, and it's, like, legit. But, there's a legit petition on change.org to keep him there. Yeah, once he goes into space, like, we want that fucker to stay there, and away from here, it's, like, it's so funny, because it's, like, yeah, it's, like, kind of awful that, like, billionaires, like, have the money to, like, escape, like, all the shit going on down here, but at the same time, it's, like, if they're in space, and... you know, maybe they can just stay there and stop fucking with our lives, you know? Only problem is, like, I don't know, like, if they would still be able to, like, control shit or run companies from up there if they were staying there. So, I don't know, like, maybe let's all, like, you know, once they get into space, like, maybe let's just hope that, like, you know, their connection gets severed and, you know, they're just living their best fake billionaire lives up in space and... you know, we can finally, like, you know, have our socialist agenda, go through, and everyone has Medicare, all the good shit, and everyone is getting paid above, like, $20 an hour, especially our service industries, like, I think they should be getting paid $30 an hour, but, anyway, okay, moving on, all right, so, like, now into, like, the other news, Burger King employees do a mass quitting with their good boy marquee. with their goodbye on the marquee of their location, and long COVID had more than 200 symptoms, according to a new study. And what I'm going to try to get to, if I can, by the end of this podcast, let me just do time check, okay, 14 minutes, is on my subreddit, well, not my subreddit, oh god, on the ex-Mormon subreddit, I posted a question that I, you know, was just thinking about one day. How easy/possible would it be to infiltrate a cult like Mormonism, for investigative journalism, or just rise the ranks enough to grind some of the cancerous gears to a halt. And I had, like, some pretty spicy, like, replies, and, like, you know, I don't know, like, yeah, but, I will try to get to that, and also, like, a bit of the background that, like, you know, caused this question to surface in my head, but, I will just move on into reading, like, sections of the articles that I had written down as fast as I fucking can, but also, like, see if I can sneak some commentary in there. So, anyway, I'm gonna start with the Washington Post article, some excerpts from Burger King workers announce resignation with a sign outside restaurant that says, "We all quit." Okay, so first excerpt goes, two employees took turns on the ladder, climbing up and down to painstakingly remove the block letters from the marquee sign outside a Burger King location. Letter by letter, they added a new message. The candid note posted on Saturday outside the restaurant in Lincoln, Nebraska, was the employee's way of expressing in no uncertain terms that they had had enough. Enough of management, enough of understaffing, and enough of the scorching hot kitchen that at one point allegedly hospitalized a worker with dehydration. "We all quit," the audacious sign read. "Sorry for the inconvenience." The message stemmed from a joke between employees that was meant as an apology to customers and a laugh at upper management, said Kylie Johnson, one of about nine of the store's roughly 11 workers who quit en masse. And I'm just going to skip to the next excerpt. In quotations it says, "Want to know why we are closed?" asked one of the sign outside a restaurant in May. "Ask our corporate office why their employees are forced to work in borderline conditions, sweat." Okay, I'm just gonna start that sentence over. I'm so sorry, I cannot read today. "Ask our corporate office why their employees are forced to work in borderline sweatshop conditions for 8+ hours without breaks," in all caps. The dearth of hospitality workers has prompted debate over the impact of generous federal unemployment benefits and the hospitality industry's historically low wages. Amid the competition for labor, restaurants have sought to lure workers with hiring bonuses, higher pay, and more flexible schedules. This pandemic-filled national reassessment of work has also extended beyond the service industry, with more resignations in April than in any other month since late 2000. Employees have pivoted to new industries, launched their own businesses, or retired early, even as millions of others were laid off because of the economic downturn. In Nebraska, Johnson said Burger King workers' concerns were ignored after the heat in the kitchen forced Flores to leave work early and miss part of a meeting. Her boss allegedly told her she was being a baby. She was hospitalized with dehydration the same day, Johnson said. Okay, quick time check. Okay, we're good. That was a really interesting article for, I think, like, pretty obvious reasons, but, yeah, I think that's, like, you know, honestly, props to those Burger King workers, and, yeah, I really hope, like, that they're able to, like, find a new job, but, like, I think, like, I don't know if it was actually in this section of the article that I, like, got sections of, but, like, one section, I think, was, like, talking about, like, how, you know, there is, like, a lot of, like, jobs hiring that, you know, are less just fucking barbaric. And you know what? I really hope that they find a new job, and I have confidence in them too. But that's fucking awful. Like, especially, like, how that one lady was, like, talking about, like, how she was, like, literally hospitalized with dehydration. And that just, like, reminds me, like, I have a friend right now who's working a customer service job. It's her first job, and I'm not gonna, like, list the name of the company or, like, hint to, like, what it is, because I don't want her to get fired in the very, like, small chance, but, you know, still chance that, like, you know, what her company, like, hers this. But she was, like, talking about how, like, she literally, like, works 9 days in a row, part of her job, like, includes, like, going outside and, like, cleaning outside and everything. And she's like fucking got heat exhaustion before. And it's like, you know, when I was talking to her, she was like talking about like how, you know, she's like, ah, damn, I don't know why I feel like shit and like why I feel nauseated every day and like, you know, why I literally have to go home to work because I'm like, you know, sometimes running a fever from like the stress and everything, but I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And it's like, no, honey, like you literally said it. It's the fucking stress and it's like your working conditions and it's just awful. And it's like the reason why you're taught to like downplay your trauma is, you know, literally the bourgeoisie or like, you know, in other words, capitalists. But yeah, it's like, you know, they literally just like treat you like you're an appendage to their machine and everything. And it's like, you know, they take advantage of like, you know, the fact that like a lot of their workers are like, you know, like there's job scarcity and everything. Like they take advantage of that. And they're like, well, where else are you going to work? Kind of like someone in an abusive relationship would be like, who else is going to love you the way I do? When in reality, it's just they have their own motives and they don't give a shit about you. And yeah, so I'm just like, yeah, that's fucking awful. And you know what? Burger King, fucking get your shit together or go to space with Jeff Bezos and stay there. So anyway, another time check. Damn, I'm actually doing a lot better than I'm thinking I am. But okay, so I'm going to move on to the Guardian headline that long COVID has more than 200 symptoms, a new study has found. And I'm just going to read the excerpt that they had on their Instagram description. So, I mean, I think it's caption. I don't know. Yeah, whatever it is, like that's at the bottom of the photo. yeah. Okay, so the largest ever international study of people with long COVID has identified more than 200 symptoms and prompted researchers to call for a national screening program. The study, published in a Lancet medical journal, surveyed 3,762 people with confirmed or suspected long COVID from 56 countries. It identified 200 of these symptoms, which spanned 10 of the body's organ systems. The research has found a third of the symptoms continued to affect patients for at least 6 months. Athena Akrimi, a neuroscientist at University College London and senior author of the study, said, "A lot of post-COVID clinics in the UK have focused on respiratory rehabilitation. It's true that a lot of people have shortness of breath, but they also have a lot of other problems and types of symptoms that the clinics need to provide a more holistic approach to." She said that she was still experiencing symptoms 60 months after becoming infected with coronavirus, adding, "There are likely to be tens of thousands of long COVID patients suffering in silence, unsure that their symptoms are connected to COVID-19. Okay, so that is like the end of the caption, but in the photo, it like provided a list of like some of these symptoms. So researchers found that the most common symptoms were fatigue, post-exertional malaise, where people's health worsens after physical or mental exertion, and brain fog. And other effects included visual hallucinations, tremors, itchy skin, changes to the menstrual cycle, sexual dysfunction, heart palpitations, bladder control issues, shingles, memory loss, blurred vision, diarrhea, and tinnitus. Okay, so, yeah, some of these, like, I didn't even think, like, were possible, like, visual hallucinations, like, that's one thing, and, like, even, like, down to, like, sexual dysfunction and, like, memory loss and, like, blurred vision, like, that's pretty fucking terrifying, actually, but, it's, like, I have to wonder, like, what even the visual hallucinations would be. I mean, I believe it, you know, because it's science. But it's like, I wonder like what kind of hallucinations it causes. And, when I was like actually driving to get my coffee today, like I only remembered like the hallucination parts. I was like thinking like, oh, maybe it's a different kind of hallucination or something, because it's like, those are more common than you think. But like visual hallucinations, like that's fucking crazy. So, I don't know. I kind of wish that I did this before the episode just so I had something to say on it, but like I want to do like more research onto that. But I hope that this isn't like triggering to like talk about. Please tell me if like, you know, COVID-19 like topics are like triggering for you. You can like shoot me a DM or even just like in the comments of this episode on Instagram. But yeah, because I don't know, like it might be triggering for someone, and you know, I want this to be a safe space, but also like an informed space too, but even more so safe. But yeah, so maybe next episode I'll have done some research on like what they mean by visual hallucinations. But I hope this is more incentive to like get your vaccine if you haven't already, because yeah, that was like, I literally didn't even feel nauseous when I like got the second vaccine. Like, I mean, it's different for everybody, but it's like, you know, it was gone in like 24 to like, I think, yeah, 24 hours. And then like, I think I've still felt a little foggy the other day, but, and I'm talking about the second vaccine if I didn't mention that already. But anyway, okay, so I'm going to move on to like, the thing that I like really wanted to talk about. Okay, so I don't know if I mentioned this earlier in the podcast, but in case you didn't know, I'm actually ex-Mormon. Woo, interesting. But recently I've just been learning like about like how culty Mormonism is, because I actually left when I was 17, but like a lot of like the real them like, you know, sinking their claws into you and everything, like that fucking happens like after you turn 18. I mean, it's like, it's already pretty fucked up that you get baptized at 8 and you're really like not even old enough to like, you know, make that own decision. And usually it's like, you can't say no to your fucking parents when you're like 8 and everything, right? Okay, so like I learned that like there is like actually like journalists that dedicate their careers to like infiltrating cults, like that could be like, you know, fake joining it and everything. Okay, I'm just doing a time check. Okay. Apparently that's actually like a real investigative journalistic career where it's like they fake join cults and then they expose it and they like talk about their experience and everything. So I was like thinking like, huh, like, you know, Mormonism is a cult. So it's like, I asked on Reddit, like, how easy / possible would it be to infiltrate a cult like Mormonism for investigative journalism, or just rise the ranks enough to grind some of the cancerous gears to a halt? And I got, like, some pretty good answers. Like, some of them were, like, jokingly, like, I'm not gonna give out the names of these people because I didn't, like, disclose that to them, so sorry if they, like, wanted to be included, but I doubt, like, they were listening to my podcast. But one of them said, impossible, Heavenly Father wouldn't give the inspiration for them to be called to serve those roles. And I said, but what if they scammed Heavenly Father? Like, I don't know, if they commit themselves so much more to the role that they don't even think that they even think the right thoughts enough to like pass off for Daddy Elohim, because it's like they believe that like he can read your thoughts and everything. And the person said, like, that'd be pretty embarrassing for him, especially in the celestial kingdom. And I thought that was, like, pretty funny. But, like, one of them, like, actually, like, listed, like, some pretty good thoughts. Like, a few things you would need. Tons of money, leadership positions, or rewards for tithing, a personality that kisses ass well. You've got to bury your face in the ass of the higher-ups without seeming to do so. A shit ton of time to spare, 20 to 30 hours a week is pretty much mandatory, and most importantly, a penis. It doesn't have to be functional, you just have to have one. But basically, it's like, yeah, it's a very patriarchal religion, and I'm sure like there's been like a lot of news out there, but it's like, yeah, like not even the women aren't allowed to have their special power priesthood and everything. And I was like, yeah, it would be a pretty huge commitment, because it's like basically, you know, you have to like fake, you would have to basically, like, if you don't already have a family, you would have to like fake that you have a family and everything, and you're like super successful, because it's like, yeah, that religion is basically based on like white sexist horny men, because it's like, you know, that's the demographic they're like, you know, advertising to and everything. But I just like thought that was interesting, and I wish I got to this early because I'm literally running out of time. But maybe I'll talk about it next time. But thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Existential Waiting Pool, and you are loved, and I hope to see you again. I mean, yeah, hear you again, or whatever. Bye.